that, I want to talk about riding in boats. Because if you go to Israel, you'll get to ride on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, if you've ever been there, it's actually very small. It's not very large. And when I think of peace, I think of riding in boats for some reason. I've had some very peaceful rides in boats. And strangely enough, I was trying to think this week, what's the most peaceful ride in a boat I've ever had? And it's actually in Disney World. How many of you have ever been to Disney World before? Now, Disney World, if you've never been there, if you just think about it, you're like, okay, it's theme parks, but it's a lot more than that. Some of the most concentrated area of amazing restaurants you've ever seen is actually in Disney World, if you didn't know that. Disney World has, I believe, about 23 resorts there on the property. Budget resorts, mid-level resorts, very nice resorts. And between the resorts, if you stay on the property, there's all sorts of ways that they accommodate you to get you from property to property so you spend more and more money. And so there's a bus line. It's actually one of the largest bus lines in the country is right there on Disney World property. There's a bus line. There is a monorail system that transports people throughout. They're actually building it's not called a gondola, but it's like the tram that we have in Portland. They're building one of those to go throughout the park right now. But there's also a lot of boats at Disney World that take you from park to park because there's probably, no exaggeration, there's probably about 100 lakes on the Disney World property. And there are some very peaceful, romantic boats that if you go in the evening, you can watch fireworks, you can go from park to park. And one of the most romantic moments my wife and I ever shared was on one of those boats amongst lots of other people. Maybe, I don't know. It was nice, it was peaceful. And sometimes, I remember growing up, my wife and I were like, man, I grew up with a boat, we need to get a boat. And like, okay, only thing we need to get a boat is money. We need money, we want a boat. And I love to have a boat. And I grew up with boats, and I just love the noise of water lapping against the bottom of a boat. Do you know what that sound is like? It's amazing. And I also love and dislove the night of being on a boat, when you go down to lay in bed, you still feel yourself moving. That's a weird feeling. I also had another interesting moment on a boat. And my wife and I were invited to Kauai several years ago to go perform a wedding for a dear friend of ours on the island of Kauai. And God blessed us with the ability to go there and perform this wedding. And while we were there, we're like, what's the one thing we're going to splurge on while we're here in Kauai? Because we'll probably never come back. And so we had to decide between the helicopter ride, which was very expensive, or going on a Zodiac boat tour of the Nepali coast. Now, if you don't know anything about Kauai, look up the Nepali coast. You'll see what it looks like. It's amazing, amazing mountains that jet into the ocean. It's Napali, Nepali coast. And a Zodiac boat, if you don't know, it's basically a large rubber raft with like a metal bottom. And it's what the Navy SEALs use, their Zodiac boats. And you can go on a Zodiac tour along the Nepali coast with about 20 of your closest stranger friends that you've got. And on a Zodiac boat, you actually sit on the pontoon part of the boat. You don't sit in rows in the boat. You sit on the side of the boat like this. And so you're facing strangers. You've got strangers all around you while you're going in the Zodiac boat like this. Somebody needs to make a boomerang image of that of me. And so we went on the Zodiac tour boat, and there is a rope that goes around the perimeter of the inside of the pontoon, and you slide your feet under that rope. Now, why would you need to do that? Because that's the only thing holding you in. And so you're sitting on the edge of that pontoon boat. And have you ever sat on one of those exercise balls before? Like the bounciness that exists there, that's what the pontoon boat is like. It's very bouncy. Thus my pony ride movement. And you've got your feet tied in by a rope. And there is also a rope that you can hold on to for dear life on the side of the pontoon as well. And so we got into the pontoon boat with a bunch of great strangers, all people from all different sorts and walks of life. And it was an adventurous bunch, though. Mostly younger people, like myself. And so we get into the water, and we begin to go around the horn of the island. And when we get around the horn of the island, the captain of the boat looks ahead and says, it looks really rough today, but you guys seem like a young, adventurous bunch. And so we'll feel it out to see if you want to continue. But a lot of times we just turn back here, and everybody's like, keep going. we're not turning back. And so we go past a school of like 100 dolphins there. That was pretty awesome. And that was just the calm before the storm. And so we go around the horn, and the waves start to get pretty impressive. And the captain stops and says, you guys want to keep going? We're like, yeah! And it was such a peer pressure moment because everybody around you is saying, yeah, and if you say no, you're going to look like a total wuss. And you have no, you're just locked in. And so we begin to go out into the open sea, and my wife and I have tried to tell this story several times, and we have videos somewhere. We could not exaggerate enough how high the seas were in the ocean in the Zodiac boat. And it started off like, okay, this is fun. Okay, we're bouncing 5-10 feet off the water. It's still cool. We're getting banged around. And there was a very charismatic man in the front of the boat that was just holding on. He was like Jack in Titanic. He was the king of the world on top of the Titanic, and he was on the very bow of this Zodiac boat. He's like, yeah. But then the waves got nuts. And again, without trying to exaggerate, I would say 20-foot swells. I mean, at least 20 feet. And so this 20-foot swell comes out. You can't see anything around you because the waves are like mountains all around you. And this 20 wave just barreled Jack in the front of the Titanic boat. And he went from, yeah, to crying in an instant. Like, full-on crying. And the wave, if you've ever seen the movie The Perfect Storm, like, it's not much of an exaggeration. A wave completely went over the top of the boat, and everybody was just looked terrified. I was having a blast. I was having a good time. You know, some people like to jump off cliffs when they go places. Some people like to do daring, adventurous things. Some people are just kind of boring and just sit on the side. But I'm all about having fun. And so I was having an awesome time. And so the captain got a little bit alarmed, and he said, well, I want to give you guys a rest for a while. You know, you guys are holding on for dear life. And literally our knuckles were sore. We were holding on so tight. Our feet were sore from hoping that rope would hold us in. And so he sits still to allow us to just, let's just calm down. There is no calming down in 20-foot swells. And if you've ever been in the open ocean before, being in a steady position is not a good thing. Because all you're doing is going and down again and again and again. And I went from having fun to not having fun in about 3 seconds. And my head and my stomach started to sound an alarm that things are not well. And there are some people that are exhausted from going over these giant waves that are wanting a break. And I'm like, we got to go quick. We got to keep moving. We don't care how dangerous it is. Let's keep moving. And so we go, yeah, we're doing good again. And I start to feel a little bit better. And we're cruising through these giant waves. And we're literally as soaked as you could be. We would have been more wet if we were in the ocean completely. And so we get to, there's a secret beach we're trying to get to. And we get a couple miles away from it. And the captain's like, we need to slow down and take a rest again. Like, no, we don't. We just need to keep going. He's like, there's people here that need to take a rest. I'm like, really, there's not. We're all good. And so we start to take this rest. And I blacked out for a second. And the last thing I remember was from the captain, are you okay? And I'm like, what do you mean? Am I? And I never throw up. I'll do anything I can to not throw up. I would rather anything than throw up. And the captain's like, you're really sick, man. I'm like, you. And my wife's like, oh, you are white. And you see what had actually happened. I left out of the story is the guy up front that was gung-ho and started crying when the wave knocked him out. I'm like, I'll take his place. And so I changed places with the guy, and we're just sitting there. I'm like, just go. We don't need to sit here. And I just throw up after throw up after throw up after throw up after throw up. How many of you had biscuits and gravy for breakfast this morning? And so the captain looks at me and he says, hey, man, there's something I can do to help you to make you stop throwing up. I said, is there anything? Blah! And I'm thinking he's going to give me a shot of adrenaline or he's going to like slap me across my face. I'm like, just anything, please. And he reaches into his cooler. I've got no idea what he's doing because I am so sick at this point. And he pulls out a bucket of ice water. And I was like, this will help, mate. And I had no clue what's happening until the bucket of ice water covers my body. I'm an unwilling participant in the ice bucket challenge. And he's like, that should... And so now I'm freezing cold, and I'm throwing up, and we're still going up and down. And it ruined the rest of the day. Now, the reason I tell the story like that is because it was peaceful at Disney World on that boat. But it was actually peaceful on that boat, too, in the ocean. There was actually peace. There was puking, a lot of puking. There was extreme nausea and discomfort, but there was peace. And I actually look back on that as a good memory because it made a great story for today, didn't it? I look back on it as a good memory, and it's because there was peace in the midst of the storm and the vomit. And so we're going to talk today about peace. And I want you to know that peace exists on both boats. Both boats had peace, and it was actually the same. It was a peace within, like Casey talked about. And so we're talking about the fruit of the spirits. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul's writing to a group of churches in modern-day Turkey 2,000 years ago, known as Galatia. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Paul tells us that when we have a heart that is fully submitted to Jesus, when we're walking in the freedom that God gives as a gift of grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and the power and the filling of his Holy Spirit, that we produce things in our life that prove us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And all throughout the writings of the New Testament and all throughout the writings of Paul, he makes very clear, you cannot earn your salvation through works. You cannot earn your salvation through good behavior. You cannot earn your salvation through acts of goodness or kindness. The words you say do not save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And so at any point, if some group or person claims to be a Christian, but then says you need to do something in order to be saved, that person in that group is no longer Christian at all. Christianity is based on a salvation that God gives from our sins, from ourselves, by a free gift of grace that is received only through faith, not works. Amen? That's what the Bible says very clearly. There's a strong movement in our country that would disagree with that and say, no, you need to actually work hard for your salvation. You need to work hard for God to love you. But the Bible says, while we were still enemies of God, he loved us. And so God loves us. He offers us this salvation. We have his Spirit. And so the fruit is the things that our life produces to prove that we are disciples of Jesus. And Jesus said we would be known by our fruit. And so to make abundantly clear, your fruit does not save you, but those who are saved bear fruit in proving to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may have grown up in various church movements or denominations. Some of you may have not grown up at church at all. And the message I have for you today is for all of those groups. But some of you may have grown up in movements or churches that put far more emphasis on what we call the gifts of the Spirit than they do the fruit of the Spirit. And so sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, we can get very enamored by supernatural things that God does use us to do and does act and do accomplish great things. And I have seen and I have experienced supernatural work of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit active and alive in the church today. And I see it daily in my own life. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit are real and they're active and they're present today. But I've also known people who claim to be Christians, and by God's grace, maybe they are, that they show off the gifts of the Spirit that they have. They are all about the gifts of the Spirit instead of the grace of God. And some of those people that I know that show and display gifts of the Spirit have no fruit to show at all. And so that's why Paul says, unless you have love, all of those gifts that you're waving a flag about really mean nothing. It just is a resounding gong. You've got to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And people are not going to look at you and say, look at those gifts. They must be a Christian. People will look at us and say, look at the fruit. There must be a God inside of them that's producing that fruit through them. Because God knows they couldn't do that on their own. It's got to be coming from somewhere else. And so a heart that is fully submitted to Jesus, a heart that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, does bear fruit. Love is the fruit that all other fruits flow from. Joy. Ladina did a great job last week speaking about joy. It's different than happiness. And this week, peace. What is peace? And that question I just asked you is a lot harder to answer than we give it credit for. What is peace? What is peace? Well, in the Old Testament of the Bible, peace we have translated from the Hebrew word shalom. How many of you heard that word before? It's a greeting. It's a blessing, but shalom is a state of being that really aligns with the will of God. In the Hebrew sense of the word, that was simply shalom. However, in the New Testament, when we get here to Galatians, where it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, the New Testament is written almost completely in Greek. And in Greek, the word that is used that we translate to peace, it is this word eirene. Eirene is the word in Greek that we translate to peace. And the Old Testament usage of the word shalom and the New Testament usage of the word eirene, peace shows up in the Bible nearly 400 times. Peace is very important to God, our Prince of Peace, by the way. And so this word eirene, when I ask the question, what is peace? In a Greek sense of the word, here is what peace is. Peace is a state of national tranquility. And almost every definition you look up for the word peace always has that word tranquility. What's tranquility? Peace. What's peace? Tranquility. It's a word that's almost embedded. It's hard to describe something like love, and it's equally as hard to describe something like peace. Peace is tranquility, and here in the Greek sense of the word, it was exemption from the rage and havoc of war. So peace is the absence of war. Peace is peace between individuals. It's harmony. It's concord. It's, as Pastor Kevin Hunter said, it's unity. That's what peace is. It is peace is security, safety, prosperity, felicity. That's a weird word. I don't even know what that means. Like, hey, how are you feeling today? Very felicitous. Like, don't use that word. You don't need to do that. Of the Messiah's peace. It's the way that leads to peace or salvation of Christianity. It's the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. I like that definition. What's peace? Well, let me read this to you. This is what it is. Peace is the blessed state of devout and upright men after death. May he rest in peace. A modern definition that we give to the word peace, it describes it a little bit better on the internal side. Here is one of Webster's definitions for peace, and it's this. It's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. I like that. Peace is freedom. Peace is freedom. Peace is freedom from disquieting and oppressive thoughts or emotions. And so we're talking about fruits of the Spirit. And so if peace is a fruit of the Spirit, if peace comes out of you from the power of the Spirit within you, not your spirit, but the Holy Spirit, again, what kind of peace are we talking about? Because there's actually a lot of kinds of peace. What kind of peace are we supposed to bear, and how does someone actually bear it? And today we're going to talk about three kinds of peace that your life does, should, and will be bearing when your heart is fully submitted to Jesus and you are filled with the Spirit of God. And here is peace number one. Peace number one is peace with God. Peace with God. And you might say, Pastor, what's the most important peace I could possess? And it's this: peace with God. Now, that might seem like a foreign concept to you, but I want to read you two passages of Scripture. It's Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that means our sins no longer are counted against us, we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are no longer enemies of God. Our sin separates us from God. We deserve the wrath of God for our sins, but God says, I love you so much, I will live a perfect life of peace. I will die for you in your place to give you peace. I will rise again from the grave to give you life, to give you an abundant life, and an abundant life always starts with and possesses and lasts with peace. And so peace is peace with God. Later on, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, for in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He's saying Jesus is God in the flesh. And through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. How does peace come? Peace comes by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace is something that you can have with God. You can go boldly to God with all sorts of problems and request and worship and praise because you have full access to him because he is at peace with you and you with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we bear this fruit of peace by grace through faith in Jesus. And that is why the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 9. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, God speaks through him and says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. How many of you are looking forward to a day of peace without end? So even as Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, at his coming, the angels declared this in Luke chapter 2. They sang out, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Who is he pleased in? He's pleased in his son, Jesus Christ. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, he is pleased in us. And so peace on earth to those in whom God is pleased. How do I have peace on earth? There is only peace on earth through the Prince of Peace, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in Jesus, you have peace with God. And this is a peace that we produce when his Spirit is within us. And so you might say, is that peace just for me? The answer is no. Because fruit is something you bear, because fruit is something you notice, that means that other people will notice the fruit of peace that your life is bearing by the power of the Spirit. And it means that the peace you have with God, you actually are called to bring others that peace as well. You see, people are going to see the fruit of peace you have. They're going to see you boldly standing in it. They're going to see you rejoicing in the hope that you have. And we share the peace we have with God to other people by inviting them to possess it themselves. Next year, we're going to do a whole series on a passage of Scripture that we often call the armor of God. It's Ephesians chapter 6. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to stand on the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then the Bible says something strange, and it says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Shoes are something that make you go. And Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Well, what gospel are we bringing? What good news are we bringing? I want to tell you, if your good news is not good news, it's not the gospel. And if your good news that you're bringing is not peace, it is not the gospel either. Jesus says that we are to bring the gospel of peace, and we are to be prepared to do that. And so we have peace with God, and we are to bring peace with God to others as well. So that's number one. You need to have peace with God. And if you're bearing fruit of the Spirit, that only comes because you have peace with God through Christ. So you say, Pastor, what do I need to do to start bearing the fruit of peace? And I would say you don't have to do anything, but you do need to trust in Jesus. You need to put faith in him. And when you do, he'll give it to you. Say, Pastor, do I need to ask God to give me peace with himself? And I would say, no, you don't need to ask. You need to receive, because he's already offering. He's offering you his peace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so you don't need to say, God, can I have peace with you? He's already said, yes, you can. And I sent him, and his name is Jesus. And what I would encourage you to do today is to put your trust in Jesus and surrender your life to him. And instead of saying, God, will you give me peace? I want you to say, God, thank you for the peace you're giving through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, because I'm putting my faith in him, and he is now the prince of my life, and he is the prince of peace. And so God calls us to bear the fruit of peace with God. But there's a second kind of peace that our lives need to bear. And it's called peace with others. Peace with others is a peace that we are to bear as a fruit of the Spirit. And peace with others, that means specifically peace between people, peace between organizations, peace between us and others, peace between brothers and sisters in Christ, peace between parents and children, peace between husbands and wives, peace between individuals and groups of people in the world around us, peace between governments and military powers. And the Bible even says we need to have peace amongst the church. The Bible says that God is not a God of confusion in the order of our services and in our church and in our bodies, but he's actually a God of peace. And so to bear the fruit of peace is to be at peace with others. But there is a problem about being at peace with others. And the problem that exists with being at peace with others is others. How many of you know you don't have control over others? And so we're called to be at peace with others, but there's this thing that gets in the way, and it's actually just others. But those who are full of the Spirit and those who walk by the Spirit, they will produce the fruit of peace wherever they go and whomever they go with. And so look at two verses with me real quick. Romans 14:19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. He's talking in context about within the church. Let's pursue peace, church. Let's pursue mutual upbuilding. Mutual means you don't just offer it, but you receive it as well. Hebrews 12:14, it says, strive for peace with everyone, even them. Strive for peace with everyone, holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You see, what I want you to know is the Holy Spirit does bring peace. The Holy Spirit can bring peace between you and others. The Holy Spirit can and does bring peace between organizations and governments and military powers. But peace with others takes others. So look at Romans 12. I save that for last here in context. Romans 12, verse 18. And the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, if possible, if possible, so long as it depends on you. If possible, so long as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I want to tell you something that is unpopular today. Sometimes peace is not possible. Whoa, that's not true. I saw a visualized world peace on the back of a car. Peace is possible with everyone. I had a t-shirt. I gave the sign in the 60s. It is. Not necessarily. Sometimes peace isn't possible. This does not mean you give up on the possibility of peace. Amen? Right. You don't give up on the possibility, but sometimes it means walking away from pursuing it. Someone else might not receive the peace that you bring. Someone else might not receive the peace that you have to offer. I could tell you what Jesus told his disciples about this. It would be a very long side trail, but Jesus actually says sometimes peace isn't possible. Because peace doesn't always mean relationship. Peace does not always mean reconciliation. But what peace actually means, peace is the absence, in this case, peace is the absence of active chaos and disorder in relationship. And sometimes the only way to get away from the active chaos and disorder within a relationship is to actually get out of the relationship. Sometimes. Some of you have had marriages like that where it was no longer safe. Some of you have had business associations where it was no longer safe. You desire peace. You haven't given up on peace, but you had to come to a place where maybe sometimes you actually stopped pursuing it because peace wasn't possible because people were not receiving the peace that you had to give. And so peace doesn't mean that you have to have relationship with everyone in order for there to be peace. And so sometimes people are toxic for you. Sometimes people are dangerous for you, and it doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you don't want peace, but sometimes it's just not possible at the time, and you can actually pray for it even when you're away from it. Amen? And so some of you need to hear that today, that maybe you're in a dangerous situation. It's possible you need at least a break from, if not to get out of. And so pursue peace with others, if at all possible. But then there's this crazy idea. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he actually says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So not only are we called to be at peace with others, but we're actually called to bring peace to others that have nothing to do with the peace that we have with them. Sometimes God calls us into fiery situations that have nothing to do with us to help people find peace together. That's what counseling and therapy and pastoral work oftentimes is. About a month ago, we had a dear friend, Chris Ludwig, here from South Africa. And some of you have no clue what this guy, how vital he has been to world history in the last 60 years of his life. He has brought peace between groups of people that slaughtered each other, that they would never think there would be peace possible, but now there is a lasting peace. He's a peacemaker. We are called also to be peacemakers. That doesn't mean you meddle in other people's business. That doesn't mean that you put yourself into other people's business, but it means that sometimes God might put you into a situation where you're actually called to help two parties make peace with one another, and you better be prayed up if that's the case. You better be prepared, and you better be sure God's calling you to do it before you do it, or else you've just meddled in someone's business, and you're going to make it a lot less peaceful. And so I would encourage you today, if the fruit of the Spirit is peace, who is there in your life that you need to make peace with? Is there someone you need to make peace with, and the Spirit of God living inside of you, convicting you right now with that decision? I would just encourage you to ask, Lord Jesus, what would you have me do, and would you give me power by your Spirit that's living within me to actually make or pursue peace with someone, because I cannot do it on my own, because you're the Prince of Peace, not me. But maybe there are some people in your life that you need to bring peace to, and you're actually a peacemaker. Not a meddler, not a nosy neighbor, but maybe you're actually a peacemaker, and God's putting on your heart right now people that God's calling you to help work towards peace with one another, and that might actually be you. So peace with God, peace with others, and here's the last one. It's peace within. And I tried so hard to think about, how do I describe peace within? And I can't. It's beyond words. And of the fruits of the Spirit, peace is the one that I bear the least of, if I'm being transparent with you. I want peace desperately, and oftentimes I have it, and I have it with God, and I have it with others, and I have it within myself too. I talked about how peace existed in that storm, but how many of you just want more inner peace today? I want more. I want more. Inner peace. This is a kind of fruit that we bear in the Spirit that when you heard we're going to talk about peace today, that's the first thing you thought of. Peace within. I lack peace within. I want peace within. So what does that look like? How do you describe that? How do you describe this peace within? And when I started thinking about how you describe it, Here's something I bet you all thought. I think you all know what it should be like, but you can't describe that. I think you all know how peace should feel, but yet it's almost impossible to describe. Peace might not be something that we possess right now as much as we would like, but yet somehow we know that we lack it, and we know somehow what it feels like, even though we haven't ever felt it completely before. And peace is the thing I believe our soul cries out for and hungers more than any other thing. We hunger peace. We know what it tastes like, but not fully and not yet. And so this definition, peace is a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts. It's a freedom from disquieting or oppressive emotions. That's what peace is. And so that's what I think we want. We want this quiet in our mind from these oppressive thoughts, these oppressive emotions that we have. And we just want this kind of peace. This is the kind of peace that we crave inside. But as I brought up, as I told that story, I wasn't planning on telling it, is that oftentimes we get this way wrong. And Casey actually touched on this before he led us in a song about peace. We think, okay, for there to be peace, there needs to be an absence of chaos around me. For there to be peace, there needs to be an absence of argument. For there to be peace, there needs to be an absence of my coworkers. For there to be peace, there needs to be an absence of my children. For there to be peace, there needs to be absence from my spouse. For there to be peace, there needs to be absence from tribulation. True peace only comes when the world is perfect around me. And that's the problem. I think that's what we're looking for. But let me tell you, you're not going to find that. Peace is not the absence of external things. Here's what peace is. Peace is the presence of Jesus in those things. It is not the absence of chaos. It is the presence of Jesus in chaos. That's why I could puke my guts out on a boat and jump up and down and almost go overboard and drown. And yet somehow there was still peace. And I can look back on it and say the tranquil boat ride was just as peaceful as the chaotic boat ride. Because it wasn't about the boat ride. It was actually about who was in the boat with me. And if you have peace with God, Jesus is in your boat. And you have peace with God, Jesus is in your boat. And there may be storms raging around you, and you don't need to fear. And you can actually have a sense of security. You can actually have a sense of prosperity. You can actually have a sense of safety when there's a storm going on outside of your boat, because you know who's inside of your boat. And his name is Jesus. And he is the Prince of Peace. And I think some of you really just need to hold on tight to that today. About a year and a half ago, I went through the most difficult point of my life I've ever been through. And part of me didn't know if I'd make it. Part of me didn't know if I could continue. Part of me wanted to give up in every possible way you could imagine. But I can look back on that and I can say, there was still peace. I couldn't really see it then, but it was there. There was still peace. And I'm here to tell you today, unless you are abiding in Jesus, unless you are walking in the Spirit, and unless you are building foundations for your life right now in a time where you think it's peaceful, I'm telling you, there's storms that are coming. There is chaos that's coming to your life. There just is. And some of you will not be able to make it because you were not focused on the peace you had in Jesus when things were going good. And if you don't have peace with Christ when things are going good, you're going to fall apart when things aren't. And you've got to focus on the Jesus who is in your boat in the storm, both when those waters are calm and smooth and those waters are bucking and causing you to get sick. And sometimes you don't see the peace. Sometimes you forget Jesus is in the boat, but you can look back and say, thank God he was. Thank God he was, or I don't know if I could have ever made it out. Jesus says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. But then he says, Oh, by the way, in the world, you're going to have some trouble. In the world, you will have tribulation. But he says, take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Because I know life sucks sometimes. I know life stinks. I know there is trouble. I know there is tribulation. But I'm saying things to you that you might have peace. Notice Jesus didn't say, I'm getting rid of the storm around you so that you can have peace. Jesus is saying, I'm getting rid of the storm in you so that you can have peace. He's saying, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trial. But he says, take heart. It's not about what's going on outside of your heart, church. It's about what's going on in your heart. And in your heart, you need peace within. John 14, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, by the way. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Pay close attention to what he says. He says, not as the world gives do I give. What Jesus is saying is, the world thinks that peace is the absence of problems. But Jesus says, my peace is different. My peace is not like the world's peace. He says, I leave it with you. I give it to you, not as the world gives. He says, here's what peace is. He says it, and we miss it. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. What is the absence of peace? It's trouble in our heart, and it's fear in our heart. It doesn't mean there's not things that we should be aware of and maybe are fearful on the outside. It doesn't mean that sometimes there's not great trouble in the world around us. But Jesus says, you got to find this within. You got to find it inside. And it's a solid foundation that I'm with you always, that I'm going to be there. I'm going to give you peace that's going to get you through. And it's a peace that you don't even get. You won't even be able to understand or comprehend. That's why Paul says in Philippians, he says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Why didn't you give up? Why didn't you leave? Why didn't you end it all? Why didn't you just walk away? Because I have a peace that passes all understanding. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your external circumstances. That's not what it says. It says it will guard your heart. And where else do you feel a lack of peace and mind? It will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when someone walks up to you in chaos within, and they say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm so depressed. I'm so anxious. I have so much anxiety. Keep that verse on the screen. Don't you dare say, well, the Bible says don't be anxious in anything. The only reason you're depressed and are anxious is because you haven't been praying. You haven't been supplicating, and you haven't been thanksgiving. How many of you, that's made you feel real great when someone said something like that? I've gone through some really crappy times, and I've had a few people say, well, brother, were you in the Word? No, I decided one day I was just going to throw God's Word in the fire and not listen to it anymore. Well, brother, were you praying? No, I just decided I was going to give up on God. I'm telling you, tribulation comes when you're in the Word, maybe more so. Tribulation comes when you're praying unceasingly. Don't give somebody a dumb, pat, Christian cliche answer when they're going through hell. But you can say it instead, man, that's hard. It's hard, I know. Here's where I've been. Here's where I've come. Here's what I'm doing. But somehow, man, I get it. I don't know how you're going to get out of this. It does seem pretty hopeless. Me too. I'm with you. I would be in the same boat. But would you just remember Jesus is in the boat with you? His peace, it's going to pass all understanding. I don't know how, but I promise you it will. And I'm not trying to say that any of these things cause any of your problems, but can we just trust in God's word? And can we just start praying about this? Can we start giving this to God? Can we start worshiping God in the midst of our storm? Can we start just being grateful for all he's done? And yeah, I know it's hard, but I'm here with you, and Jesus is here with you in the boat. And we can overcome through the word of our testimony, what God's going to bring us out of, and through the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus' grace that he's given to us. So would you bow your heads? You could just focus in on God's Spirit working within you. I want to just close with a couple words with our hearts focused in on Christ. You will never have peace within if you don't have peace with God first. It's not possible. You cannot have peace within without peace with God. Here's what religion will tell you. Religion will say, whoa, you got to get cleaned up, man. If you want to be right with God, you need to be right with yourself first. If you want to really know love, you got to love yourself, man. Love yourself, and then maybe you can love God. You need to find peace, and then maybe you'll find peace with God. That's just a bunch of religious garbage that says you can save yourself, and you can't. You'll never know true and abundant peace within without finding peace with God. It is not possible. You say, Pastor, today I lack peace within, and my resolve for you is, let's help you find it. My resolve is, let's help you find peace with God first. You are not God's enemy. He is not mad at you. He is not waiting to strike you with lightning. Instead, he is waiting to embrace you in open arms because he loves you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose again. He's angry with sin. He's angry with Satan. He's angry with the powers and principalities that are leading this evil world that we live in. He's angry about that, but he's not angry with you. He wants relationship with you. Today, he's offering peace. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Here it is. My peace I give to you. How do I get it, Pastor? Get at peace with myself? No, no, no. You just say, thank you, God, for your peace. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your resurrection. I receive your peace. And once you find peace with God, you will be at peace with him. And you're going to spend a lifetime finding it, by the way. You're going to spend a lifetime continuing with God to find peace within. And I think the real reason I have peace within from time to time when I've got it, it's because I know that one day, external chaos will be resolved. I know that one day, external wars will be resolved. I know that one day, external drama will be resolved. And so I have peace in that. Yeah, I might not feel peaceful around me, but my heart can be at peace because I know that one day, Jesus is bringing peace and is going to restore all things. And that's how I find peace within. So you can't know peace within unless you know peace with God. But here's the flip side of that. You can't know peace with others unless you know peace within. Peace with God first. Peace within second. Peace with others third. The reason why is if you don't have peace within, and I'm not saying like you're just like Mr. Peace all the time. But I'm saying if you don't have some kind of peace within, the chaos within, it'll pour out of you and others will know it. And you're not going to bring peace at all. In fact, they sense it with you that you're not at peace. You're not going to find peace with others unless you have found peace within, because you don't actually have any peace to offer. And so if you don't have peace within today, and if you found peace with God, I want to encourage you. That peace is not about your external circumstances. It's about within. And I want you to begin to ask God and cry out to him, God, give me a peace that passes all understanding within me, so that peace pours out of me and infects those around me, so that I can be at peace with them too. God, make me a peacemaker. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your peace. In worship today, we declare, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. We declare that you give peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for the peace that you offer with us. We thank you for the peace that you offer to us. And we thank you for the peace that we can then offer the world. Lord, if there's anyone that does not know you, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit would convict them of their lack of relationship with you, that your Spirit would convict them of their sin and draw them to a Savior. Show them the need for your peace, Jesus. Give them faith to trust in you and to receive it. And just as you called out to the storm on the Sea of Galilee in that boat 2,000 years ago, peace be still, Jesus, that's what we ask for us today. Peace be still. And I love that your word describes what happened after you cried it out. It says that the wind ceased and that there was a great calm. And so, God, here is the storm of our hearts today. We offer this storm up to you and we cry out in the name of Jesus, peace, be still. Lord Jesus, cease the wind inside of our hearts and bring to our hearts a great calm. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen. Let's sing.